This is CliffCentral.com.
Halala Limpopo, halala. Halala Gauteng, halala. Halala KwaZulu-Natal, halala. Halala Western Cape, halala.
Halala. What's going on this year? Why are you shaking your hands around? So what's happening?
I can't touch anything for the next like 6 minutes. I
just moisturize
my hands.
Ooh. How many times is that today already?
And this is like the second time.
Well, he's going to have great skin one day. I mean, he's going to have hands like a baby, even though he'll be a 70-year-old man, which will be extra creepy.
My neck will look 85, but it's fine.
Sia will be one of those people who wears gloves at a certain stage. It'll probably be at the age of 42. He'll just suddenly start wearing gloves, like Miss Daisy.
These silk elbow-length gloves.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Well, it's a Tuesday morning. It's the 17th of October. Ooh. Ben got me onto something yesterday. There's this site that you can like buy cryptocurrency on. You could buy commodities on. You could buy indices from all the different exchanges. Traded funds.
I saw you guys just in the corner the entire morning.
Yeah, we're just watching it the whole day. It's this site called eToro, E-T-O-R-O.
Okay.
And, you know, you can put a little bit of cash in there and then just see what happens with the different stocks. And yesterday was a terrible day to start.
Oh.
It just didn't go very well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then you figure out quickly how some of this stuff is so volatile.
Well, you also realize how difficult Anthea's job is.
Yeah.
Because she's got to be confident and know what she's doing with this every day.
Because I don't know the first thing, right? I don't know the first thing about, like, you could buy stocks, for example, on the Frankfurt Börse, the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. You can get stuff on the New York Stock Exchange, Paris, London. It's amazing. And you could actually buy, like, copper and oil and that kind of thing. Like right now, as we speak, I own 4 barrels of oil.
Oh, very good.
Brent crude oil.
How many barrels of oil until you can have a wife?
No, you need a lot.
What's the ratio there?
You need a lot. You need a lot for that. But I know my oil is worth, it's not worth a lot anymore. I bought it at like 200, and I've now got, it's now worth 135. So I've really had a shitty experience with oil, but that thing goes up and down like you can't believe.
Well, exactly. Have you put a stock profit on it? Like, what's it got to get to when you cash out?
No, I'm not. I would rather do that myself. Keep an eye. You know,
that means you're on there like every 30 minutes. Like, I wonder.
It's just so much fun. It's like exciting, and you know the amounts of money aren't huge, so I'm just playing really. Mm-hmm. The best thing about this is you could start with a virtual portfolio.
Yeah, you get $100,000 virtually.
Yeah. Like to get used to.
Yeah, to understand how
it all works.
Because it's betting for people who aren't that clever. So understand how it works.
Yeah. And then you can follow other people and all kinds of stuff. It's interesting. Anyway, I meant to ask Sia yesterday. No weddings or anything over the weekend. No divorces. no children on the way. I mean, we never know with you, right?
Children will escalate very, very quickly. No, none of the above at all.
All right.
Just me keeping my legs crossed now. And my fingers crossed, too, that nothing ridiculous happens.
Well, it's definitely summer. You can feel it. Like, you don't need to be dressing warmly anymore. Oh. It's here, and I think it's here to stay now. I think it's going to be a very hot summer. I think we've already got as much rain as we need in Gauteng.
Yeah, let's just hope no ridiculous weather anymore. There's been a lot.
In just 1 week?
I think we've had enough, yeah. I think we've had, you know, a fortune of rain as compared with the Western Cape, haven't had any.
I don't know. I saw reports yesterday of people warning people in Gauteng to use water wisely.
Really?
Mm. Oh, no.
As if trying to empt that we don't want to end up like the Western Cape.
But that's exactly it, Mubs. It's a valuable resource. We should never be cavalier with water.
Yeah.
Even if it does rain all the time, don't be a dumbass with water. Like, how hard is it for us humans? I mean, is that even too difficult for us? Are we that pathetic?
Ben, I want you to be the Minister of Common Sense.
That would be nice. If only that was a portfolio that existed in politics.
Absolutely.
It would be kind of ironic because common sense has no place
exactly.
in politics.
Exactly. There's no way that there would ever be a Ministry of Common Sense because it goes against political goings on. And similarly, if you had someone commonsensical, they would die in politics.
Or just die, physically die.
Oh.
I mean,
look at the ruling party, the way they turn on each other.
They would be pushed out very quickly in any government in the world, really. They'd just be pushed out.
Yeah.
Someone said to me the reason that Jacob Zuma was on it, it's like the Corruption Hall of Fame in Nigeria. That's why he was honored. Okay. So a lot of people are still asking, why was President Zuma honored in Nigeria? Well, Nigeria, as we know, is really... Nigeria is the starting point for real full-scale corruption. I mean, you remember the kind of thing that happened there before Obasanjo. It was like you must dip your hand into the till as far as you can, pull out as much as you can, and then you would be considered a good person in Nigeria. That's why Nigerians had this very unfair reputation, because their leaders were such crooks.
So they are like the bar.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone in the whole world is to host a corruption Hall of Fame, it's got to be Nigeria, right? And our president was honored. He's been inducted into the Corruption Hall of Fame. That's why he had to wear that ridiculous outfit. And then he got that statue and a road. He got a road and a statue and an outfit.
Mm. But does that road come with potholes straight away? Or is it just paved?
No, it's fine for now because they want it to look good for while he's still there. But within a week or two, it'll start deteriorating. I heard the most interesting thing from Solim Simanga, the mayor of Tswane, of Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in Taiwan, they burn all their rubbish. There's no rubbish, right? And then what they do with the ash that's left is they use that to tar roads.
But doesn't that mean a hell of a lot of crap for the atmosphere?
Well, they do it in a closed incinerator.
Singapore do the same thing. No. They have these closed incinerators. Yeah.
No. And so there's no like noxious gas being released. It's all kind of contained, and the chemical reaction's contained, and then they use the ash that's left over to make the roads.
That's a really good thing, because here, basically, those rubbish dumps are in poor areas, so children have like four toes and...
Mm. Yeah, and
two eyes that don't work and one that's in the middle. And
here's the problem, is that those rubbish dumps, the plastic doesn't deteriorate. It takes like millions of years for plastic to break down. So in other words, they're there forever. There's this huge dump. I don't know if you've been to the airport and you've seen in Johannesburg on the left-hand side just after Marlborough.
Yes.
It's huge and it's just getting higher and higher and they're just pouring more and more soil over. Have you seen that one? Amanda, you must have seen it. You go that way a lot. The rubbish dump. They're next to the highway.
Just before London Road, yeah.
Yeah, London Road, sorry, not Marlborough.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's hectic.
Oh.
And there's always someone like sifting through the rubbish. You know, they're those people who collect rubbish?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they get paid for it or whatever. It's the same guys who push those trolleys down the road with all the stuff on them. And I think that they earn for any plastic or glass or any of that stuff that they manage to gather. Cardboard, but it's obviously not the most efficient system. I mean, I'd love to see more of those guys out on the road and the government paying them to collect rubbish. It could clean up the streets, but you see that and you think, whew, that is some enormous pile of crap, and it's not going to go anywhere.
No,
it's there to stay.
Jeez, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it just shows you how much crap we generate as a species. We throw away so much crap. You know, I would love to be one of those people. I don't separate my rubbish. I don't have like space for five rubbish bins.
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing.
Do you separate your stuff?
No, I used to.
It's hard, huh?
I used to, and then really I moved somewhere smaller. I didn't have space for the bins, and then I'm just that guy.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have five of those big rubbish bins because you've got to do one is for glass, one is for plastic, one is for paper, one is for organic rubbish, and then one is for what's the other one? Like
paper, plastic, glass.
Paper, plastic, glass, food.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
One other one.
And then don't you have like an organic some... Have you mentioned
that? Yeah, well, that's the food one. I can't imagine what else there is.
Well, you kind of create like a compost heap. And
yeah.
You put that in your garden.
Yeah, well, that's what you're meant to do. But the point is that for people who live in town and don't have a garden, then you put the organic stuff into the organic bin. It gets carted away as well. But it's you have to really be disciplined. And you have to figure out the best way to do this.
I know, like, we still have a box at our place of just paper, which we've been meaning to recycle. But it's, like, not in your general...
No, we've got a box here.
...to-do list and everything, you know, during the day. So it just sits there now.
But I admire and envy those people who are so organized that they even have their rubbish organized. Mm. I mean, that is an unreal level of organization.
Well, speaking of that, though, my neighbor's quite proud in our complex. He's a smoker, and he has a balcony that overlooks a little patch of greenery.
Is this the one who prays at 3 a.m?
No. Yeah. Actually, he's been rather quiet these days, so maybe his issues have been solved. But another one of my neighbors is now officially growing marijuana in our complex.
Oh.
We were looking over our balcony the other day, and we're like, is that... what I think it is.
What, in a pot?
No, just like where he often smokes, and he'll just like throw his little stubs over the balcony. So they've actually been falling into this little patch of grass.
Oh, so it's not anyone's garden.
No, it's just like part of the complex. Okay. So now we're just waiting to see what the complex like gardener will do. Will he like root this up? Otherwise, then we just start growing it. And now the law says legally, yeah, if you grow it at home, it's fine
for your own use. So,
is he aware that he started this?
Oh yeah, he is.
Because sometimes
he's very proud.
Yeah, sometimes people just smoke and then they'll throw away their stuff, and then the seeds will germinate.
Yeah.
So it's not always like they're trying to nurse a plant into.
Great. Now that he knows what's up, though,
yeah.
Well,
he is keeping his eye on the...
Talk about organic.
That'll be it's a fun good. Time.
I wouldn't know where to begin nurturing a plant, any plant. I'm just useless.
Here's an email from Celeste. She says, I am perplexed at the standards we allow for our political leaders compared to the rest of the world. I despise Donald J. Trump, but a broken clock is at least right twice a day. When Charlottesville happened, the hurricane hit, the Las Vegas shooting, and then the Puerto Rico hurricane, at least the man-child showed up and said something. Back on home soil, we have Gupta leaks, KZN drowning, Cape Town's dry, Ahmed Timol, KZN political killings, and Jay-Z is too busy consorting with the Guptas, feathering his own nest, machinating to get his position filled by friendlies, and spending so much time with his lawyers defending the indefensible to even lift an eyebrow. Worse is that we've all become so used to it in the media that we don't ask, where is the president? What are his thoughts? What is he going to do about it? It's a good point from Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you just, as president, how do you not comment on every major story for the last 4 months?
Well, Gareth, when was the last time you commented on high school women's netball?
Oh, I see where you're going. Because I don't care about that, so why would I comment on
it? Sia, where did you cover wheelchair basketball?
No, it's been a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically. Never.
So he feels the same way about running the country?
Yep. Well, yeah, everyone has their own list of priorities.
And his is just not including being president.
Mm-mm.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
What's up?
It's William from Susie's Coffee Shop. How are you guys doing?
Good, William. What's happening, man?
I'm good. I'm just feeling like rubbish. You guys are talking about rubbish this morning, so...
Yeah, go on.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I love your show, guys. I love Ben. I love Mobali. I love Sia. Nice. I just love what you guys are doing. And I want you guys to come down to Susie's Coffee Shop anytime soon.
Yeah, you've been emailing me. We're going to try and organize something.
Yes. I'm promoting the Cape Town for Cape Town campaign. Where we were trying to promote local tourism in Cape Town.
All right.
Be a tourist in your own city.
How's it going down there? How's the water situation for you? I mean, if you run a coffee shop, you use a lot of water, right?
Yeah, look, there was some rain yesterday, and now all the Cape Townians are like, oh, thank you, Lord, there's some rain again in Cape Town, so everybody's again happy. But other than that, the drought is quite bad, and the farms are also struggling.
How much did you get yesterday? Do you know?
No idea. I'll be very stupid to let you know. I'll give you an exact figure, Gareth.
You've got about, across the whole of the Western Cape, you've got about 6 liters.
6 liters? Oh, my word. Oh,
all right, dude.
Little barking in my little chubby
your
toilet.
All right.
Yeah, my fault.
All right, dude. Cheers, man.
But anyway, guys, thanks. Have a great day.
All right. But there we go. There's William.
Hi, William.
Okay, go ahead, Ben. He had this look of glee only simply because William named him first as his favorite.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Didn't? What are you talking about?
He said, look at that. He is smiling from ear to ear.
I was smiling because your face dropped and your name wasn't first.
You know, I know what William means, and he meant to mention me first.
Plastic is being turned into fuel in other countries. Yeah, Mohato, that's what we were saying. I was talking about how that's what they do in Singapore. Ben mentioned Singapore. I mentioned Taiwan, Taipei. A couple of other things. Yesterday on the leadership platform, they had that Magda from Signia. So Ben tells me that Magda and her family lived near him and his family.
Yeah, so Magda's younger brother was best friends with my older brother.
See? Yeah. So in other words, all the Polish refugees were in the same kind of area. So Ben says, yeah, we used to sometimes share a cabbage.
I guess I think that was your racial addition.
Right, that's my racist comment. And then once Magda started making a lot of money with Signia and everything else, then they would all share her cabbage.
Yeah, I remember the first time she brought a purple one back.
Oh,
so excited. They thought it was Christmas. And then they realized it was Christmas. Someone talking about how their neighbor also has a weed growing in their garden because they've been smoking joints and they throw the you know, little bits down and then those turn into plants. Hmm. So it's happening. And someone else saying that what we should do is all grow our own vegetables. Even if you live in an apartment, there's no excuse because if you have a window box or something, you can grow tomatoes and you can grow all kinds of stuff.
I know it's not really an excuse, but a lot of us are just like what Mabale said. Like, we are, like, we don't have green fingers. We don't know where to start. But I try to buy local. I support our farmers market in the area. Does that count?
So, yeah, that's something.
Does that count? Okay.
All right, a couple of, someone sent me, a guy called Dave sent me these songs just for Mabale. Are you ready?
Okay.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Very nice. Very nice.
You like that? No matter what you do. And then this one, this came in as well. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Please take your juice. Isn't that great? And then the third one, just to prove that they're not going shy here, Mubs, they've three songs they've been doing for you. What do you think of that, huh?
You know, I do love a man who puts in effort.
There you go.
How do you like
that?
Yeah. I do love a man who puts in effort to impress a lady, so very appreciated. Thank you. Who's that from?
Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, well done. This is the first time Hootie and the Blowfish has got airplay since the 90s as well.
I only want to taste your juice.
Very nice. That should be Hootie's comeback.
Very good. Cool?
Oh, by the way, we're going to do something different with the five things you need to know this morning. I've decided I just want to give it a try and see if we can tidy that up and tighten it up because poor old Mabale comes in here and she does the 6:30 news, which is meant to be just five things, and then there's always overflow and that ends up at 7. So instead, we're going to do the proper news with Mabale at 7. And I'm going to throw in these headlines at 6:30. It's just basically a short-form version of everything that you need to know for the start of your day. All right, that's coming up in a short while. Are you on some kind of water regimen? Are you trying to drink a certain number?
Yes, yeah.
And you actually, see, you all come in here with huge bottles of water.
Well, if you're not drinking water, you're not really, yeah.
What?
How is this a thing?
No. I'm just asking because you all three seem to have like big canisters of water with you today.
Yeah, Gareth. Well, especially with me and my various ailments and injuries, I must be drinking a fair amount of water.
Aren't you going for a sports massage today?
Today I'm going for a sports massage. That's why I'm wearing the short pant.
What's the difference? What
the hell is that?
What is that?
Are you having a stroke?
Was like goggling and frothing.
Are you going to that guy who touched you so nicely the last time that you almost fell in love with him?
No, okay, wait. Hang on.
Are you wearing short pants for this guy now, Ben?
No, okay, look, Derek's a massage therapist. So Derek will do your whole body and basically sort you out if there's something really wrong. Ugh. So I go to Derek when I can't walk straight.
He can sort me out.
And Derek sets me straight. Okay.
Okay.
But now, so last week I went to a biokineticist, which I'm putting a video out about today. And at the same place, they do sports massage. So I've got a hip flexor issue at the moment, which is like a handbrake to all my progress. Mm. That and a few other things, but mostly hip flexor. So I need someone to get into that and really sort of release the handbrake, so to speak.
Oh. What's their surname? Weinstein? Sorry.
No, James Corden. So that's, yeah. So there's nothing... I still can't get over that noise my belly made.
I was thinking of... I don't know, Ben. Your massages sound very sensual these days, is all I'm saying. And now you're wearing short pants.
You make it sensual. Unfortunately, I'm addled with all kinds of bad things, and I need people to... Oh, I don't know. Sorry about my life.
I just wonder what you're going to be like when you're old. I mean, I'll be older than you, so I'll hopefully, you know, still be compos mentis, and I'll still be able to, because to see you because you've kind of been a grumpy old man since you were 20.
No, realist, a big difference.
No. I'm being mean because that's how I am with you. But the fact is, like, Ben has been a grumpy old man since I can remember, and when you are actually a grumpy old man, I wonder how much more pronounced and exponential that will be.
Well, that's why I'm putting so much effort into now to make sure physically I'll be fine. So that
fix yourself.
Yeah, so that when you're like hunched over, and I'll still be like, you know, normal.
All right, it's time for the five things you need to know. They say that you can't find a perfect vegan pizza. Well, that's nonsense. They also told all the vegans that you'd have to eat boring dry pizza bread. But here you are, living the dream, enjoying your favorite pizza with vegan cheese at Colcacchio Pizzeria. Yep, you heard it, Colcacchio Pizzeria, changing the way you think about pizza. And Sia, you're a vegan, you've tried it, you know what I mean.
Vegetarian, yes.
Well, vegetarian, vegan, potato, potato.
There's a difference.
Well, you can get whatever your taste is at Colcacchio's. It all works. Here are the five things you need to know. First of all, another obstacle to Gogo Moloi as Eastern Cape ANC endorses Cyril for the presidency. Poor Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma's campaign is in the toilet, which means that Jacob Zuma is getting nervous. He might not have someone to protect him after December. In other news, Harry Nell is about to launch his first private prosecution for AfriForum. That's happening today. Who will it be? Will it be Jay-Z? Will it be Duduzane? Will it be Brian Molefe? Lynn Brown? Faith Mutambi? We'll find out at 12 o'clock today. Start placing your bets.
Go, Harry.
MoneyWeb figures that if we'd spent all the SAA bailout money on education, listen to this, we could have put 666,000 people through tertiary education. Degrees. All covered. What a mess. That's all SAA's bailout money. We could have put 660,000 young people through university in this country and all the way through school before that as well. And where is the MEC who must take responsibility for the life Esidimeni deaths? Edani Mahlangu is in the US. She's apparently furthering her studies, so she doesn't have an address in South Africa, so they can't find her and bring her into those hearings. That, everybody, is how you get away with murder. And finally, sick Hillary Clinton fell down yet again and broke her toe. She could fall over every day and the media would still say that she's, you know, not really sick and it's a conspiracy theory. And meanwhile, Trump tweeted that people keep asking him if Crooked Hillary will run again in 2020. Guess what he says? I hope so.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are the five things you need to know today. Here's Ben. Let's see what's going on in the sport.
Well, we've got football, we've got NFL, we've got cricket, and we've got lion bites. Let's start with the football then, because the UEFA Champions League is back, which means all the great teams, and not Arsenal, are in action. Arsenal fans, of course, are seething from the loss to Watford, but let's get on to some real football, shall we? Apul will take on Borussia Dortmund. All these matches, South African time will be 9:45 this evening. Leipzig will take on Porto. Feyenoord will take on Shakhtar Donetsk. Real Madrid will take on Spurs at the Bernabeu. Huge match there for Spurs because they've had a pretty decent run in the last few weeks. Everyone's talking about how Harry Kane is an absolute complete player. Well, this is the great thing about the Champions League is that you're not nobody, as they would say in England. You're not nobody until you play Champions League.
Huh.
Spartak Moscow will take on Sevilla. Man City, who are just scoring goals left, right, center, left of center, right of center, in between left and center. They are taking on Napoli at the Etihad tonight. And then Monaco will take on the Besiktas, as they say in Turkey. And then Maribor will take on Liverpool. Liverpool, well, they're pretty piss poor at this level. And, well, they had a decent enough draw against Man United over the weekend. So they'll take some confidence with that. But as you know, Klopp's cock is on the chopping board.
Wow.
Klopp's, yeah, because, I mean, the guy.
That's a lot of cock for you, Ben. It's a lot of cock.
My mouth was full before I knew it there. Klopp's. Try to say that five times. Klopp's cock is on the chopping board.
Try and say it just once.
Yeah, you can say it once. Yeah. Into NFL. So we all know that there's a massive problem with the NFL and the protests, and you get people saying it's disrespecting the flag. Then you get people saying it's not disrespecting the flag, they are fighting for a worthy cause, and that the players who take a knee during the anthem are representing the needs of the people. Well, Donald Trump yesterday was asked about this, because Donald's very anti-protest against the anthem and the flag.
Yeah.
And he's been saying these guys are a bunch of losers, the NFL must obviously punish these people. So yesterday, he was asked about Hillary's comments, that because Hillary is supporting people who take a knee.
Yeah.
And this is what Donald had to say about this.
Was about disrespecting the flag. Complete odds with the way that you have portrayed this. You fired back in a tweet saying you hope that she runs again in 2020.
Why?
Oh, I hope Hillary runs. Is she going to run? I hope. Hillary, please run again. Go ahead.
So she's at odds with you over whether or not this is disrespecting the flag. Is she right or is she wrong?
I think she's wrong. Look. When they take a knee, there's plenty of time to do knees, and there's plenty of time to do lots of other things. But when you take a knee, that's why she lost the election. I mean, honestly, it's that thinking that is the reason she lost the election. When you go down and take a knee or any other way, you're sitting, essentially, for our great national anthem. You're disrespecting our flag, and you're disrespecting our country. And the NFL should have suspended some of these players for one game, not fire them, suspended them for one game. And then if they did it again, it could have been two games and three games, and then for the season. You wouldn't have people disrespecting our country right now. And if Hillary Clinton actually made the statement that in a form sitting down during the playing of our great national anthem is not disrespectful, then I fully understand why she didn't win. I know. I mean, look, there are a lot of reasons she didn't win, including the fact that she was not good at what she did. But I will tell you, that is something that I had just heard about. And I think that her statement in itself is very disrespectful to our country.
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, Fox.
Right. What an absolute child. She didn't win because she didn't do stuff very well.
Well, it's true enough. He does make a good point about how that kind of thing is what most Americans just don't like.
Yeah, it's true. But look, at least for Donald, you can say many things about him, but he's consistent with these kind of things. And these little jabs at Crooked Hillary. So the NFL are looking to create a resolution around this because it's bad for business. And this is what all these sporting things are. It's all business. So if these headlines keep dogging this league, who's to say that these big companies don't want any of this? they'll go talk about, I don't know. Although it's kind of, it's spreading to all sports now, except for golf, because only white guys play golf. In cricket news, Ben Stokes, he had a bit of a fight after a bit of a booze up. Well, the weird thing is that no witnesses are coming forward. Now, we've got a bit of time for a conspiracy theory, so let's go. Ben Stokes is the most valuable cricketer that England have. They took him from New Zealand as a young child, and despite the fact he's ginger, he managed to last outdoors for a good 10 or so years playing cricket. He has now beaten up these guys. There is video footage of this happening, but no witnesses have come forward. This is a bit odd. So, either there was a gentlemanly agreement like, all right, mates, we had a bit of a fight, let's get on with life, or the ECB, who have lots of money and dark, dark skeletons, have gone to these guys and said, don't talk, we need this guy to play the Ashes. If you are a conspiracy theorist, you might like the way this is going, but it has been believed, according to Alex Hales' lawyer, that no further charges will come to Ben Stokes. Now, Alex Hales was also there on the night, and he also missed the match after the punch-up. So Hales' lawyer believes that, well, nothing more is going to really come of this, it'll just kind of die down, and that is why Ben Stokes is saying absolutely nothing. He's adding nothing to this right now because rich law will take its course. You know, rich law basically is, if that doesn't really help poor people, the rich people always get off scot-free because they've got lawyers to do things. So Steve Smith, the Aussie captain, is saying that they're not really trying to think too much into Ben Stokes playing or not playing in the Ashes, so they're just going to focus on their game, because if Ben Stokes doesn't go to Australia, then England will lose 5-0. If Ben Stokes does go to the Ashes in Australia, they'll probably lose 4-0. The problem is that he has to go for this series to be interesting. Because as David Warner says, David Warner is the diminutive opening batsman with a look of sheer hell in his face all day. He says that, you know, the only way they get fired up for this Ashes series is if, out of genuine hatred for England.
Wow.
So if Ben Stokes isn't there to basically counter some of this, it's going to be very one-sided. We're going to see more players suffering from sort of post-traumatic stress disorders, because Australians are rough as hell. They really are. They're horrible, horrible bastards. So when you go out to bat and they find out that your sister's 16 or something, they will say inappropriate things. They are that horrible. Or if your mother's
got... they call it sledging, right?
If your mother's got a gammy leg, or she was terrible in the choir back in the day. These guys will find stuff like this and they will hammer you about it while bowling bounces at 145 kilometers an hour. So Ben Stokes has to be the to counter this. He just has to, because it's good TV. You know, if it's Joe Root, he looks like Ellen DeGeneres standing there in the middle and they're firing things around him, they're going to capitulate very quickly. And then you're going to hope for Stuart Broad to do something mean. And I mean, I shouldn't always be down to Stuart. So that's what the Ashes is looking like. Yeah. In cricket news, Pakistan beat Sri Lanka yesterday in an ODI watched by about 7 people. And tomorrow we'll see the Proteas hammer Bangladesh again, which is about as exciting as the game I just mentioned with the 7 people. So remember Scott Baldwin? He was that thickest shit rugby player who decided to stroke the lion, and then the lion bit his hand.
Oh, yeah, 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 okay. I remember
so
him.
Well, more has come out about this, and maybe Scott needs a bit of credit. See, this is what we do on the sports show. We balance everything.
Right.
So Scott and his fellow Osprey teammates were all petting the little lion cubs that morning, and then they went to an area where they were indeed stroking the big lions, and everything was fine. Absolutely everything was fine. And then he took his eye off the lion to give his phone to a fellow teammate to take a photo. And in that moment of lack of concentration, that is when the lion bit Scott Baldwin's hand. But also, it was a new enclosure they went to. And at every stage, there was stroking of lion happening here under supervision from guys in khaki shorts.
So it's not just because he's stupid.
Exactly.
And maybe the lion is, like so many of us these days, sick of having the person they're talking to distracted by a phone.
Exactly. It's rude. Right. Lions have feelings and social pressures too.
Right.
But then Scott's theory is that he stroked the female in the enclosure first, the male got upset, and then bit his hand.
Huh.
Yeah. So as it went, operation-wise, it was cleaned out by the team doctor straight away. Miraculously, the lion's bite did not sever any tendons or hit any blood vessels, but did go through his entire hand, much like Jesus on the cross, Gareth.
Oh, it's like a stigmata.
Yeah. So from there, he went back to hospital and had another operation the very next day. Same thing again. Because when you get bitten by a wild animal like this, it's the infection often that really does massive damage to you. And then he went back on the plane and he had to be on a drip. And then he got into Wales and they had another operation. So he looks like he's going to make a full recovery, but he could have lost his hand. Simple as that. So when in doubt, don't stroke lions, I think is where I'm going with this. I think. And, well, that's pretty much it for your Tuesday sport. Not a whole bunch to go on other than the fact that, well, to throw in one more story, LeBron James is the cheapest guy in the NFL. LeBron James is so cheap, he won't even download an app. He won't even use, he won't access his phone outside of a Wi-Fi area.
You're kidding.
He categorically will not pay data roaming or data charges.
Well, you get the, listen, I mean, it's, in the US, it's a lot cheaper than it is here, but you get people who just, they go around switching off the lights, you know, whenever they're on, they go around and they save money on this, they save money on that, they reuse their tea bags, those kind of people. Is he like that?
Well, LeBron James is, he just does not want to ever pay for anything through his phone.
Huh.
He uses free apps where they advertise stuff rather than going for the expensive things. And the interviewer in question said, you do realize you're rich, right? And he's like, I don't care. I'm never paying for that stuff.
Oh, I mean, you almost have to admire that a little bit. It's one thing to be cheap, but it's also quite sensible in some ways.
Well, you know, we all have these stories of Tiger Woods being notoriously cheap, you know, like not tipping waiters, not tipping the valets, just very cheap people.
Yeah. Well, you get them. And I didn't know LeBron James was such a person.
Yeah.
Makes for a change, because a lot of those NBA guys, they just spend every cent they get.
Well, it's about the entourage.
And he doesn't have an entourage.
Probably not. He's smart. It's about the entourage and the honeys.
Right.
Honeys is a nicer way of saying bitches.
It's a very 90s rap way of saying it, which I'm kind of down for.
Also true.
The honey.
That's just bored for this Tuesday.
All right. Let's get to Sia and see what is going on in the world of inspiration and motivation and positivity and optimism and all the stuff that you need on a Tuesday morning where you just aren't ready to take on the day. Right, Sia?
Oh, yeah. Well, this morning I want to go on a bit of a lighter note. And I like this because it's a big middle finger up to the Australian authorities who are still trying to decide and declare what people can do and not do in their own bedrooms. So while Australia is still debating about same-sex marriages, a cruise ship has actually come to the rescue by saying, hold up, to all our Australian passengers who want to get married but can't legally do it in Australia, you can come aboard our ship and technically, because this is allowed, you can get married on our ship.
Oh, hello, sailor.
Oh, yeah. I love this. A cruise company is now offering this novel feature for its Australian passengers alongside, you know, you can lie on the deck and enjoy the sun. You can swim in the pool. You can, you know, get well acquainted with the cocktail bar. And now you can also get married.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. How bigger, like, an in-your-face moment can you get? So they are wanting any sort of LGBTQ Australians wanting to get married can now, you know, not have to go abroad or pay.
You can basically do what you want. Get married on that ship because it'll go out into international waters. You get married there. The captain is a marriage officer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're legally married. The and there's crew nothing now, those stupid Australians can do about it.
The crew now officiates weddings. So Celebrity Cruises is planning to host these weddings on boarded ships, claiming that it's the first cruise line in the world to offer legalized same-sex marriages at sea. So the company skirts around the Australian government, dragging its heels on the reform. And because they're also registered in Malta, which recently legalized marriage equality, and opens the door for the cruise line to legally recognize same-sex marriages performed on board and have the fleet captains officiate the ceremonies.
Beautiful.
I am down for this party.
It's great.
If it was me, I would just be totally petty and go just far enough to still see land. Wow. And, you know, just for everyone on actual land to see me get married.
Yeah, right. Make all the people who are opposed to this kind of legislation, make them all sit around and watch you on the ship getting married.
Oh, it's amazing. So I thought this morning, let's do something on a lighter note. And kudos to these guys for being innovative and finding a loophole. But once again, Australia, you can't tell people what to do in their own bedrooms.
I love it. Hey, there's lots of motoring news from around the world, including how to handle flooded roads. The Nissan in Japan are suspected of having forged inspection documents on Auto Central. They discussed all of that yesterday. They also talked about MotoGP F1 and all the news around there, the motorsport feature, burning rubber, and a review of the Suzuki Ignis, Plus, you can find out how you could win a new PS4 console and GT Sport game.
Wow, Tyron was talking about the yesterday like it was Christmas, and he was 12.
Very nice. There are even prizes now. The podcast available on cliffcentral.com. It's brought to you by Auto Trader. That's Auto Central. It's live on Mondays on cliffcentral.com. You were driving some kind of fancy car the other day, weren't you, Ben?
I've got the Renault Kadjar at the moment, Gareth. It's amazing. I've
never driven
a Renault Kadjar. I've never driven a Renault before.
The look on your face.
Guys, it's the business. Do you not see it glistening out in the car park right now? And Greg, who works here, has the Renault Megane. It's like their new generation of cars are the business.
What is the word? Is there a word Kadjar or is it a made up word?
Well, go and Google it, guys. Find out. I mean, I don't know everything, Gareth.
You know, I
don't know everything.
It's just they come up with these words.
Yeah. It moves from A to B. And as long as it's automatic, then it's fine for me.
Wow, that's like a really bad car poem.
No, I wasn't even intending it.
A car haiku by C.S. Sanguini.
Yes.
I'm starting to feel really inadequate about the fact that I can't drive a manual car.
No. Don't feel inadequate.
It was so bad. The other day I was at a friend's place.
We're moving towards a time where the car is going to be driving itself, honestly. Yes,
but there's still
don't
these
get precious.
Moments,
no, Mama don't get Lim precious Lori. About the fact that you drive a manual over an automatic. Fuck you.
No, I need you then in moments like that. Because
it's not that big of a deal, honestly.
I was at my friend's place and there was
a
car that
had cursed at him about it.
No, cursed at
the
people.
No, I'm cursing at the people who think
who are looking down at me.
Who think that they're so much better because they drive a manual.
Thanks.
Nah.
It's like the little tiny things that's annoying. They were just like, oh, Sia, can you move the car, please, out of the driveway? I was like, no, I can't. They're like, why? I was like,
but those people who those people who are superior about driving a manual car, I mean, they don't. If you're in traffic and you're constantly on that clutch, it is the biggest pain in the backside.
Well, it's a pain in the calf, which does go up to the glutes, yeah.
Yeah, and ultimately, eventually, you end up with Ben, with what is it called, hip dysplasia. What have you got?
No, I just have a slightly crooked pelvis.
Slightly crooked pelvis. Basically, he's just hunched over like Richard III. And at that moment, he stretches his back out.
Okay, you're going to love my latest YouTube video then, because they break down what my problem is. I have a slight, like, you got to see the video.
But I feel like there's always a doctor who's looking at you and says there's something different.
No, it's not. It's a series of different people who are analyzing different things. So when I'm done with all of this, it's
when
will
you be done? That's the question.
I know. I'm like the Sandton CBD.
Oh.
But I'll look as amazing as the Sandton CBD at the end.
Okay.
Just don't know when the end is.
I see that there's a meeting at UCT. I mean, I don't know how parents would be comfortable about paying for their kids to go to UCT if this is the kind of thing that they're spending their time doing. Decolonize UCT law. It's a mass meeting. It's only for blacks.
Huh? Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's closed to anyone else. So this is like Verwoerd's last dream.
What does decolonizing law mean?
Don't know. But it's obviously the law faculty. They mean that they want to see, I don't know, a transformation of some kind at UCT law. I mean, you know, as I understand it, there's the common law, there's statutory law, there's precedent. There isn't, if you want to disregard all of that, then there is no law.
Wasn't it Vusi Tembakwai who said that in order to understand your enemy and be better than them, you must learn from them? Like you just said, this is Verwoerd's dream.
I don't think that this is an enemy thing. I mean, this is like...
Because they haven't, they're basically reenacting the people who they say are oppressing them or have oppressed them.
I mean, it's just... this is so bad that you only allow black people to come to this meeting. I mean, how much dialogue is there going to be then? It's just... it's basically a rally. And if it's a rally, then why, you know, why not do that in your spare time? Because it's all happening at 1 p.m. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty ironic. It's just a strange thing. This is where, you know, again, like identity politics is so dangerous because it actually prevents people from getting anywhere. It actually stops the conversation dead in its tracks. And it reminds me of a lot of just dead-end arguments from people who used to defend apartheid. Of course, you can't find those people anywhere anymore. They're nowhere to be found. The people who like, oh no, apartheid was great. You don't meet those people anymore. But they were there. I remember them. I had arguments with them. It's the same kind of thinking. No, but if blacks and whites aren't together, it's better. That's kind of where the whole thing started with Verwoerd. And now we're going to separate it into meetings where, you know, black and white people can't sit in the same room. I just feel like that's very destructive and very dangerous. Okay, we got lots of other stuff to talk about. All of that and more coming up with Mubs in the news just after 7 o'clock. I see loads of things trending on Twitter this morning. Monday motivations, even though it's Tuesday, so that's a bit of a hangover. I see a lot of people talking about that show, The Queen, on Mzansi.
Such a big show.
Which Rami's on.
And it really has a stellar cast.
Yeah, Rami Chwene's on there. Mogadishu is what people are talking about too. There was that car bomb, Al-Shabaab, who blew up a car, and there were 200 and something people killed. Just a horrendous situation. And a lot of people still talking about Harvey Weinstein. So all of those are in the news, but Mubs will keep us updated. We'll have a good look at all those stories in a short while. I hope you're having a good start to your day. CliffCentral.com, keeping you company.
This is CliffCentral.com.